Welcome to the Working Hands Podcast. I'm your host, Tony of Woodland Iron. Tonight, joined by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts. What's going on, man?
Thanks for having me.
Hey, anytime. I don't know why I always say I'm the host, but we're both the host. But
no, you're hosting. I'm just here. We'd like to take the time to thank our sponsors, Sabretooth. If you go to sabretooth.com, you can get all your power carving supplies there. If you use code WH, you could save 10%. I love my Sabretooth stuff. You should try it out. Give it a go. It's fun.
And I'll take a moment to thank our sponsor, Maritime Knife Supply, your one-stop shop for makers, your home for abrasives, steel, tools, and more. That's all I got.
Fantastic.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
We'll see. But yeah, you can find all that at maritimeknifesupply.com and .ca.
When we see him in a couple of weeks, we got to talk to him about coming on the podcast.
Yeah, he says he's shy, but we'll.
Yeah,
we'll work. We're all shy. We'll work that out of him.
He certainly didn't seem shy at Maker Camp.
No,
that dude talked to everybody. I feel like I forgot how to podcast. We haven't done this in what, 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
What was it? The 7th was our last actual episode recorded.
Man.
And it's now the 27th, so it's been 20 days.
It's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. Been a lot of fun.
For you?
Well, yeah.
What have you been up to?
Well, just...
aside from growing a beard.
Which you called me out on, saying it wasn't much of one, but anyways, it's what I grow.
Oh, I thought it would be fuller, the way you said I had a full beard.
Oh, no, I trimmed it and kept it a little shorter, but yeah, so we did... I think we were 13 or 14 days total. Started in London, went to every conceivable landmark we could get to that was near. We're in the area they called South Bank. You're in the South Bank of the Thames. So the Parliament was across the water from us on the north side. So that was Parliament, Big Ben.
Hey, kids, there's Big Ben again.
Yeah. Westminster Abbey, that kind of stuff was there.
Did you see the changing of the guards?
So, funny story on that one. So, we got there, and we had time to kill because our room didn't... we didn't get our room till 3, and we landed, I think, around 9 or 10. Got to the hotel around 11, dropped our bags. They held our bags for that time, and then we're like, all right, we'll go walking around. So, we get walking around, and we get up past... Westminster Abbey, and then if you keep going like north, end up at Buckingham Palace. Well, we get up to we're not quite there, and then we noticed to the left there was the guards were going, and they were doing a bit of a... it looked like they were getting ready for something, like they're in full dress and marching back and forth in this courtyard that was... I forget, it was like they called it the guards... I think it was the garrison, maybe. And there was the guards. I'm trying to remember. but yeah, they were started marching back and forth. And we noticed like it was a lot of people. And we kind of like, what is going on here? So we started walking more towards the Buckingham Palace. And we get to the gates for the roundabout that's in front of the palace. The place is packed. Like, jammed pack. Like, there's probably, I don't know, I would say 10,000 plus people. And I was like, I think we hit the changing of the guard. Like, we hit it like within like 20 minutes, the guards were coming through with their full orchestra bands going through the gates of the palace. And it was pretty cool to watch. And we kind of...
is it that big of a spectacle every time?
Yes.
Really?
They do that every time they do it. They do that. They come through with the bands. So what was funny is we kind of hunkered down beside a tour guide that was doing a tour, and Lil kept wanting to move, and I was like, no, just stay right here. We're fine. Because I was sitting listening to the tour guide, and he said... he didn't mention which ones, but he said some of them are the band or orchestra part that they do. Some are really, really good, and some, he says, it's like listening to a high school band. Some are terrible. because there's four or five different regiments that do this,
right?
Guard duty, which there have been Canadian regiment did it for their 100th, I think. I think that's what my brother-in-law was telling me, was that Canadians have come over and gone through that entire ceremony and the whole cycle of
you think
guarding.
That was the high school ban?
It could have been. I don't know.
You know,
it's possible.
I don't mean that as a knock to Canadians, but like it's not the people who do it every day.
Yeah, and that's what it, there's. Yeah, it was just interesting to see the tour guide was, well, really knowledgeable. He was kind of going through the history of the building itself, because at one point in time it wasn't a palace. It was called Buckingham House. Like someone just had it as their home, and a monarch liked it, bought it, and then it turned into the monarch's home. So, yeah it's kind of interesting. And that was just neat to see. Like,
I'm sure they bought it for a nice price.
Oh, yeah.
Probably just took it over.
It could happen. But yeah, that was nice. That area of London was quite nice. Like, there's St. James Park is right there, and that seemed like a very nice area. It's kind of interesting to see a very green space in the middle of, you know, a modern city. So it wouldn't be near the size of, like, at least it didn't feel like near the size of like a Central Park or anything, but similar aesthetic.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we stayed on the south bank. We were like 3 minute walk to the London Eye. That's all, if you know that area, and I only know it from this past couple weeks, but Big Ben, the Parliament, and then the Eye. The Eye is just on the other side of the river from, like, Big Ben, essentially. So it's kind of neat. We didn't go on the Eye. It was quite busy most of the time and wasn't really something we wanted to kind of spend our money on.
It's just a big Ferris wheel, right?
Yeah, it never stops. I think they might shut it down at night, but when you're loading and unloading, it doesn't stop. You get off it as it's slowly moving, you can barely perceive that it's moving. You have to sit and stop and look at it to see that it's actually moving. That's how slow it goes. It's like a 40-minute ride.
Wow. And you only get to go around once.
Yeah, I think 40 minutes stuck in a glass bubble would be enough for me.
Yeah.
With people,
doesn't
I don't
seem like something I would want to do.
Yeah, with people I don't know.
How many people fit in a bubble?
I think it's like,
well, you didn't do it, so you know.
We didn't do it, but I think I've heard before it's like 40 people at a time.
That's a lot of people in one bubble.
Yeah, it is.
Eat some burritos before you go on there. Make sure you get some space in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, make your way to the window. Yeah, so that was a really cool part. So my brother-in-law and sister-in-law showed up. We got there on the Monday, I think. Yeah. And they showed up on Wednesday, I want to say. And me and Lil, when it was the two of us, we were doing like 25,000 steps per day. It was ridiculous.
That's like a lot of steps.
Yeah. Like we spent more money in Band-Aids for blisters than I'd like to say.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How many miles is 25,000 steps?
I think it depends on your stride, but I don't know. I'd say it's 10 to 15 miles, give or take. But it was a good time. We went on our...
Average is 12 miles.
Yes, sir. There you go.
Or 19 kilometers.
So, yeah, we got in to see, like, we went through... like the changing of the guard and everything. And then when they showed up, we went to that sky garden I sent you the picture of.
So that looked cool.
Yeah, so you go up in this building. I can't remember the name of it, but it's one of the bigger buildings in the skyline that you see in that Thames area. It's right across the river from the Shard. So there's a building that was supposed to look like a pane of glass, like that's shattered. And then that building we were in was like north of that. That was kind of cool. We were right up in an elevator. Not that that's a big deal, but We you get to
some
the top.
Buildings have a pretty cool elevator, like the one in One World Trade. As you go up, it goes through the years of New York City and shows you on the screen.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So this one really didn't have anything like that. You just went up, but it was you went into a certain part of or a certain entrance. You had to have an appointment or a reservation, and then you had two options on the elevator. You could either go to the 35th or 36th floor, I think it was. Doesn't really matter. But you get up there, and you've got one level where you can walk out, and there's a big balcony that you can stop and take pictures on. But then once the masses of, like, once they open the bar and that's there, they clear that out, and they don't allow anybody out, or at least unless you, I don't know if you had to. It was one of those spots where it depended on how much you paid to get in. You got to do different things. I'm sure if you paid enough, you probably could have been on the top of the building if you wanted, I'm sure. yeah, that was pretty sweet. Like you walked in, there was a bar to your left, and then there was just a glass wall in front of you. And then you could go left or right, and it looped around, and there was a garden flanking a restaurant that was on in the center of like up above you. So
you say a garden, is it a garden that feeds the restaurant?
No,
it's just a garden.
It's just greenery, just trees and shrubs kind of thing. Nothing. There wasn't even anything that was like, there was no flowers or anything at all. It was just all, like shrubs and trees kind of thing. Still kind of cool, but it was just a spot to get a drink kind of thing. But it had a minimum. You had to spend, I think, $25 per person or something. £25 per person. I might have that wrong. It might be 25 per couple, but it
doesn't matter.
It's not a real big deal. I don't know why I'm trying to get so technical on it.
We don't need anything technical, Tony.
just my way. But yeah, that was pretty cool.
Did you go to a traditional style English pub?
So on our last day, I think it was, we landed in a pub because the girls wanted to go shopping, and my brother-in-law is active service Canadian military, so he likes to drink. It's kind of a military thing.
It's a lot of people thing.
It's a lot of people thing. So he's like, I know what's happening here. And he says that, and then about 30 seconds later, he's like, I found a bar. Let's go. And we start walking.
Smart.
Yeah. And
did they have any football on?
They had cricket.
Cricket.
Yeah. So I have watched cricket in the past, and it was like, I think it was like the 8-hour long game that they do. There's like a 4-day long game too. But
yeah. I don't understand how cricket works.
I have a rough idea. I just don't know how the length of the game changes to these 4-day, like the big events that they do. But we were watching, like, I think it was like a Premier League, and I feel like it was India, but I'm not 100%. But yeah, we watched not the better part, because I mean, it's probably an 8-hour game, but we probably were there for an hour or so. It was a nice spot. I can't even remember the name of the place now, but just in the middle of like a little shopping district, and it was, you walked in and it looked like the floors creaked, like it felt like you're walking into an old English pub.
That's awesome.
It was kind of nice. Frosted glass everywhere, gold leaf on the windows, all that kind of stuff. So pretty sweet.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Then you got on the, what?
Well, so the one thing that, I sent you pictures of was, it was when me and Lil were still by ourselves early in the week. This was like I had to go there was Duxford, which is the Imperial War Museums. And that place, yeah, it was something. So I talked about going in May. I went to the Smithsonian Air and Space.
Right.
So this place trumped that by a lot.
Really?
It did. Well, I sent you the picture of the SR-71 Blackbird that's there.
Yeah.
You could touch it.
No way.
Yeah, you could. I mean, probably somebody'd yell at you if you were doing something stupid, but you were close enough that you could stand where they had a barrier and basically run your hand above your head and be touching the bottom of the wing.
That's cool.
That was pretty cool. And they have, so the Blackbird they have definitely was in service at some point in time, and they did nothing to refurbish it. So the scorch marks, the dust, the dirt, everything from operating that aircraft is still there. So that was kind of cool.
That is cool. You get to see it how it was almost.
Yeah, and then on top of that, literally on top of it, hanging from the rafters, was a U-2.
Skunk Works at its finest right there. Yeah. Both of them next to each other.
Yeah, so that was cool. They had an A-10 Warthog that was just ahead of that. And then the entire hangar was dominated by a B-52 that was in the center of it all. So the ZR-71 was like tucked in underneath it. Like the nose was kind of in underneath one of the wingtips of the B-52. They had, I think they had a Liberator there. They had a Mustang. Oh, man, there's just too many planes to name. It was ridiculous.
Is it just planes in this museum or?
No. Or anything? There was a land warfare building that was, it was smaller, but still fairly impressive for what they had there. They had the thing that's different there is, so air and space is static. Everything's static. I mean, there's nothing that I know of that flew was still capable of flying. Well, they're still probably capable of flying, but it would take a lot of work to get them there. But if you go to Duxford, there's basically a Spitfire squadron there. It's ridiculous. Every time you turn around, there's an active flying Spitfire. Because you go into one building, and there's a Concorde. There's just a ton of stuff in there. Just ridiculous amounts of aircraft. And then they're like, oh, if you go to building two, that's where the active collection is. And we're like, what? Like, oh, yeah. You saw there was a B-17 out on the airfield when we got there. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I figured it was a static example. And they're like, no, that flies. So they have a B-17, one of the U.S. B-17 Flying Fortresses there. It flies. It wasn't flying that day. But then if you go to Hangar 2, it's an active repair shop. So they have it all lined out so you can walk in amongst the aircraft. But these are all active flying planes. Like there's just everything that you can think of is in there. It's ridiculous. Like they've got, I think they had a U.S. Hellcat. They had a U.S. Corsair. I think there was a working Mustang in there. There was a bunch. There's just a ton of stuff there. Spitfires, Hurricanes, just ridiculous amount of aircraft and all working, like private collection working. And
that's
then
cool. We have, at one of the local airports, it shows up here, I think twice a year or something. It's like a active war memorial flying airplanes, and a B-17 comes, a P-51 and a B-24.
Okay. Yeah, they had a 24 there, but it was static. It was one of the ones underneath the B-52. They had an F-4 Phantom in there as well. They're just a ton of, like, too much stuff to know. And then they had, actually, one thing I'm kicking myself for not doing, and I should have done, is when I got there, you could sit down and do like an hour-long tour of a Lancaster, which was the British equivalent to the B-17, if you know the two aircraft.
And I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, so the Lancaster was a British heavy bomber, and you could walk in it. You could get in the aircraft and walk around in it. that was one thing that I kind of kicked myself for not doing. But I will say I do, if I can make it work, I'm gonna go there again. There's a couple things that you can do there, because they are active aircraft. They have a classic, I think they call it classic flights. And for a fee, you can fly in a Spitfire they've got one set up as a trainer with two cockpits. So you can second seat in a Spitfire.
Yeah, that's like the ones that all come here. You can get in them and go on a.
Yeah, so that's expensive, and that's not something I'm going to do. But there is one where you can fly in another, like, World War II era aircraft with a Spitfire beside you, kind of, and they fly together. And it's actually really inexpensive, which was kind of surprised me.
Yeah, I think if you go up in the B-17 here, and I went years ago, I didn't get in it, but I think it was like $250.
Yeah, so similar there. I forget the name of the aircraft that you were in. It was like being in a Cessna, a modern day Cessna, but from the 40s.
Okay.
Like their version of it, or the predecessor to something like a Cessna, like a four seater, maybe a little bit bigger. And then you fly kind of with a Spitfire beside you. And I think, I'm not sure exactly what they do, because I didn't really dig into it too deep, but I did see that you could do that for, I think, a 20-minute flight was like £100, give or take.
It's not bad at all.
No, I thought that was like, it's one of those things where we were looking at it, and Lil's like, if you want to do it, well, you can do it. Like, it's like, she's,
why didn't you do it?
She's the budget girl. Well, we just,
timing and all that.
Yeah.
Planning on it. I know.
Well, I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to have the whole day. Like, well, we had the whole day tied up. Well, this was the difference. I guess this is what will tell you, that for me, the difference between the Air and Space Museum and Duxford. Air and Space, I did in about 2 to 2.5 hours. It took over 4 hours to go through Duxford.
That's a pretty big difference.
Yeah, it's a big spot. And then
you only went to the one Smithsonian. There's two of them.
Yeah, so I didn't go to the one in town that's in the city,
right,
of DC. But I mean, don't get me wrong. If you can get to either one of them, do it. Like, it's an amazing place. Both of them are amazing places to go. It was just kind of cool. Duxford was an active fighter base during the Battle of Britain as well. So they have some history things set up. Well, actually, it's not a setup. It's actually the building that was used for that purpose in 1940. So you can walk in this tiny little building, and there's a little video that they play, and then you walk to the back of the building, and that's where it was their portion of fighter command was set up. And then that's where all the orders would come through, and then they would, you know, scramble their fighters and tell them where they needed to be. And it was kind of neat to see. I've got pictures. I've got to put a reel up or something.
Yeah. Oh no, Tony has to do Instagram.
Well, I was doing all right, cause Lil was doing stuff daily. So she'd tag me in it, and I'd be like, all right, yes, I will be I accept this tag.
Yeah, I'll be a collaborator on that.
Yeah, that's the word, collaborator. See, that's how well I do it. But yeah, we got there on Sunday, and then we didn't leave till Friday. And that was, then we got
London,
on
London, not Duxford.
Yeah, Duxford was Monday. That was our introduction to the Great Anglia train system. It's like their Amtrak.
Got it.
So instead of being the subway, it's the actual high speed, or, well, they move pretty quick. We covered some distance, because Duxford, from London to Duxford, I think it's about a 2-hour drive, because you're near Cambridge. So anyways, it's a fair ways north. And I think we got there in like an hour and 15 once we got on the train. So it was moving. But yeah, that was a bit of growing pains there, trying to figure out the train system, because you don't want to miss a train, but then sometimes if you don't take the right train, you cost yourself time anyway. So, and that's kind of what we did, because I just saw a train said Cambridge, and we knew we were at the right station to get on the train that would head that way. And we ended up having to go all the way to Cambridge and then catch the train heading back to the station. Was Whittlesford Parkway, I think is what it was called. Anyways, that was the station we needed to get off at. And then that was fun. Arguments ensued. But yeah. But then we headed off to Norway. That was kind of fun. The land of the trolls. They have a thing with trolls.
Is that where trolls come from?
I think it's a big part of their mythology, if I can say that word right. But yeah, every little gift shop had these ugly-looking, long-nosed trolls that kind of, I guess there's a story behind them, but I never really got into it. But the country is just, man, it's just beautiful.
The photos you guys were posting were amazing.
Yeah, and that's, like, so for all the photos that were taken, so Lil brought her full frame with us.
As she should, yeah.
And she used it one day in London, and she didn't use it again. But we were taking the photos with our phones. I understand there is a difference, and I think she just didn't want to.
Yeah, sometimes having your camera gear is an encumbrance. Is that the right word?
Close enough.
It's cumbersome. It's a pain in the ass sometimes.
So, and that was nice. That the cameras on our phones performed at a standard that, like, I'm happy with pictures I took. There were some pictures for sure that really, they don't. There's one when we were in Stavanger on the boat tour. So we were on one of those high speed Zodiacs.
Right.
And we're running through one of the, there's like three or four fjords that are right there.
Is a fjord? I've heard that term before, but what is it?
So it's a, I'll get the definition, but from what I gathered.
I can look it up while you're talking. How do you spell it?
So a fjord is a long, narrow, deep inlet of the sea between high cliffs, as in Norway and Iceland, typically formed by submergence of glaciated valleys. Okay.
Okay.
So what was explained to us, and that's what I thought before, was like, it's like a narrow valley that was carved by a glacier, and then the sea has come back in, has filled back in,
yeah,
in, filled inland. So in the one spot in Stavanger, which was our third stop, it was, I think he said there was one spot we went to. This, it was called the Vagabond Cave. So it was a spot where vagabonds, or he called them like beggars or homeless criminals, is kind of part of the what it was. Like, they said these people would raid farms to steal things, and this is where they would come back to. There was this little cove that was pretty hard to get at, and then there's a cave that's buried into the rock face that goes back, I think he said like 10 meters, so 30 feet or so. So they've got some space. And he said at that point, we were in the boat over top of 110 feet of water, and that was up against the cliff. So there was basically no shoreline. It was just rock water.
Right.
So, and Stavanger was kind of cool. Mainly because of that Zodiac boat that we took, but they took us to what they call Pulpit Rock. And Pulpit Rock, I guess, because I haven't seen it yet, in the latest Mission Impossible movie, I guess there's a fight scene that was done on top of that rock.
Hmm.
So it's the rock face is, I'm going to say it's over 1,000 feet from the water to the top, is possibly more. And then the rock as the pulpit rock actually extends out from the rock face, so it's looks like a pulpit. So, and they say people will walk up to the edge. Some people will walk up and look over. Some people will put their feet over, and then others will like crawl on their belly so they can stick their head over. I was like, yeah, I don't think I'll do any of those three.
Did you go out there or no?
No, we just went, we did the, because it's, if you wanted to do the excursion off the boat, I think it was like 4 hours round trip, if not more. Maybe it was six. It was, I think it was like an hour by bus and then 2 hours up, 2 hours back, and an hour. Yeah.
Hiking.
Math works. Yeah. But it's supposedly an easy trail. Sven, our tour guide, our boat captain, he said his 74-year-old grandmother did it. So I guess it's not too bad.
Yeah.
You looking at pictures now?
It looks cool.
Yeah, it looked pretty cool. There were people on our cruise that did it, because there's a Facebook group for that cruise, and somebody posted pictures of like, looked like 30 or 40 people at the top. So it's kind of cool.
Do you regret not going?
Up to that? No, I don't. That going to heights doesn't interest me very much. I say that, but we went to Olden, which is our second stop, which I'm sure in the reel that we do for this one, I'll send you the picture of the wooden boat with the cliffs and stuff in the background. There's a glacier on the top of the mountain there, and just like this emerald green water coming down through the valley. It's one of those places where you're just, makes you feel small, and it's just so beautiful. Like everywhere you look, it's just gorgeous. Like every angle, you couldn't take a bad picture. Like even the houses were all just, everything just looked, it was just picturesque. It was one of those places that kind of just like gave you goosebumps the whole time you were there. Because with that, we went on, I guess called Lewin. So where we got off the boat in Olden, and then we hopped on a bus there, and it took us through Stren, which is the biggest town in that fjord, which was 3,500 people. Olden was 500 people. So when 2,500 plus people on a cruise ship showed up, we increased the population of the valley by quite a bit.
Five times.
Yeah. And so our boat took us, or not our boat, our bus took us through Stren and then into another town. I can't remember. And every time I say it, Lil corrects me and I can't remember it. But that's where we took the pictures of the that small little,
that was awesome.
That little cabin cruiser. I wouldn't call it a cabin cruiser, but
I'd call it a cabin cruiser.
Just a little wood. It's a little like 14-footer wooden boat, and the water was just flat, just crystal clear and flat, and it was just an amazing spot to be. The only bad thing of that one was the tour guide just wouldn't shut up. He was doing his job, but man, I just wanted to be, just give me some peace and quiet, let me look out the window of this bus.
That'll happen though.
Yeah, well, that's what he's paid to be there for. But to get back to, so Lewin, I think, yeah, there's what they call a skylift was the name of it. It's a gondola, supposedly one of the steepest in the world, possibly, but it's very steep. And you go from the valley floor to like 1,100 meters, so it's over 3,000 feet. And it is seriously steep.
Is it scary?
It's got a couple moments where you're like,
like if that cable breaks, you're dead, right?
Oh, 100%. Well, there's more than a cable. There's three that you're riding on. But yeah, there's a couple spots where like if brakes failed or some, like, and you started sliding down, like, whew. Yeah, you wouldn't even have to break the cable. Like, if you lost, like, some sort of mechanical functions to that gondola, whew, man, that would be rough. You'd have a lot of speed when you hit the bottom.
I'd probably have a heart attack before I hit the bottom.
Yeah, it's possible.
I'd probably have a heart attack on the way up if it wasn't gonna, there was nothing wrong with it.
So here was a funny thing. So I really liked Norway in all aspects, and I really liked it because in some ways, like, I really feel like they believe in Darwinism, as in the fact that the idiots will cure themselves.
Right.
So they have some stuff where if you get to the top of that sky lift, there is a ramp that is open that you can run off of and paraglide off of and base jump off of. And they've got if you Google it's Leuon, Leon Skylift, and you bring up the Google Maps of it and you look. So if you're looking at the building and the gondola building that's there, if you look, would be to the east or to your right. I'll stay with east. There is a, you can see a spot where it's just crushed stone, and this goes leads right off the edge of the mountain. So when we got there, there's a guy pulls this big bag into the gondola with us, and a few people are like, I wonder if he's going hiking. I'm like, there's no way he's going hiking. This is a decent sized guy. He's dragging this thing in. It looked like it weighed 100 pounds plus. Like, he's dragging the thing in like he can barely bring it off the ground. Like, that's got to be, I'm like, this guy's, and he had a helmet and some stuff. And it just kind of, when I saw it, I'm like, is he going to base jump or is he going to like paraglide or what's he doing? He's doing something. So we get off the gondola. And we go up, there's a stairs to the top of the building, and there's this big lookout on the top of the building, which is beautiful. That's where 90% of our photos of that area were. And all of a sudden I look over and I see this white paraglider going out. And I'm like, what, where, did he just jump? Like, and that's what it was. And that's why I say, like, that area where the paraglider is, where you would jump off of, there's no attendant. There is nothing other than, yeah,
I just looked it up. It's like a road to a cliff.
Yeah. Like, and it's like 70 feet wide. It's huge. And like, there's posts and with rope in between them, like going down the sides of it, maybe. Like, there's very little, there's not like, it's not like he had to open a gate and then do it. Like, he just walked out the side of the building, put his stuff on, and left.
The posts are not down the side. They're in the back. So once you cross those posts, then it's like, all right, you can run and jump.
Yeah. So that one, that was one of those things where I was like, wow, that's impressive. But yeah, that was, and then they did have zip lines there, but there was nobody operating them. So Lil was going to, she was talking about doing the zip line, but.
Maybe it's one of those things you just do.
Yeah, maybe. I hope not. But.
A lot of people do wingsuits out of this thing.
Yeah, they do a bunch of things. It's a very small valley, too. Like, his ride might have been like 5 to 7 minutes by the time he hit the ground. Maybe a little bit longer, but it didn't look like it took him very long to get across the valley.
I guess if you don't hit any, I don't know how it works, but like air pockets or whatever.
Oh, the updrafts, yeah. But that is one thing that we witnessed while we were there is we saw clouds started rolling in from the fjord, and they kind of tucked in underneath us while we're at the gondola, at the top of the gondola. And then it's like an updraft hit it, and then the cloud just rolled up the hill, up the face of this cliff, and then just rolled up on top, right up over top of us. And when it did that, it started pouring on, it started raining on us. It was really the only rain that we saw when we were there, but that was pretty cool. I get photos of that too, because we were trying to trying to get photos of it because we knew it, we could see it happening. It wasn't like, didn't happen super quick. So you kind of see like, oh, something's coming. So, but yeah, that was, that country was, yeah, that was something. It was a funny thing because her brother always does this every time we travel. He's like, how much would it be to retire? Because he's 35, I think. But he's got to retire here. Well, he's almost got his 25 in, but then he's got some medical, like he's got legit medical issues, and he's very close to a medical retirement from the military. So he's like, well, what would it cost? Like he does kind of IT work in the military, but anyways, so he could work as long as he's got internet, he could work pretty much from anywhere. So he's like, what are you required to do to retire? And he's not really thinking about it. He's kind of asking the question.
Yeah.
So he did some Googling, and what it told him was you needed to prove 21.5 US income per year, and you needed to learn Norwegian. You had to speak their language to live there.
It seems like a beautiful country, though.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not learning the language. No, it is. But the thing was, too, like when the tour guide on the bus was talking, he was going through Olden, and he said in the winter, they're dealing with 4 to 5 meters worth of snow.
That's a lot of snow.
Yeah. So we were above the 60th parallel. We were 61 degrees north. So it's August, and they're still dealing with almost 24-hour daylight. So the sun set at like 9, but they told us that if you were up, there would be daylight till 1 in the morning. I was so tired, I never stayed. I was in bed by like 10 every night. We were just so busy, always going, doing something. So,
would you go back?
Yeah, I'd go back. I'd want to hit different ports, but if I could get back to Olden and do something different, because I wouldn't do the Skylift again. There's a glacier tour that you can do. So you can go up to the face of a glacier. That's a few hour hike or whatever. I don't think it's too bad of a hike. Yeah, I'd go back to Olden again. I'd go back to Stavanger again. Bergen was nice, but it was just like being in a small city. It really wasn't that impressive, but it was still a nice place to go. As far as like scenery wise, I guess it wasn't that impressive, but that's not why everybody's there. And Kristiansand was our fourth port. I felt like being home. Like it felt like I was going to the port in St. John. It was like just a very industrial little city. Although I did see another World War II thing there that was really, I guess shocking would be kind of a good term for it. So have you ever heard the term Gestapo?
Yes.
So German secret police, World War II, not very good people. They had a headquarters in Kristiansand, and it is now a museum for that. So the Gestapo,
careful now.
No, it's not for the Gestapo. It's to show what they did to the population. So they take you down into the basement of this building, and they show like basically holding cells and like a torture room. And they showed like illustrations and they had video, and you had those little, like a walkie talkie thing. There was a number on the wall. You hit the number and then it would talk to you and tell you what you're looking at.
Right.
And that was shocking to walk in, because there's mannequins in those cells in the positions they would have put people in as part of their torture. So it was kind of just takes you aback, because it was all they were
Doesn't sound like something I'd want to see on my vacation.
Yeah, you're kind of right, but at the same time, it's...
I don't want to get bummed out on vacation.
Yeah, but if you... I don't know. It's one of those things, if you forget history, you're bound to repeat it, so...
Yeah. I know that saying.
But...
So it was a good trip.
Yes, a very good trip.
Would you, if you went back to Norway, would you do a cruise again?
Yeah, I think cruising is going to become our vacation of choice. So I guess so we never talked about
the boat. Is this your first cruise?
This is our first cruise.
We can talk about the boat in the after show.
Well, I just want to say, did you talk about your casino episode?
I've talked about the casino with the dirty diaper.
Yeah.
From an adult.
I can't remember either way. Had zero episodes like that. There was no, like you talked about, strollers in the hallway, that kind of stuff. Zero of that. Because we had families on board. We didn't really have the frat type stuff because we're not on like a super expensive boat, but we're on, an above average cost boat.
Right.
And it's small. It's still bloody massive, but it's small in cruise ship terms. Like, I think it's supposed to hold 2,400 people, and then 1,500 crew. So that's a lot of people. But yeah, I found it really...
I got a question for you on that when you're done telling your story.
Okay. But I just found it really, really comfortable. There were places and times that it was really cramped. Like if you went to the buffet at the wrong time, it was a mess. Like you had to time it right. I was ready to be off the boat when we got off the boat, but it was
just
'cause
that's the way cruises are. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so much time you can spend on them before you're like, yeah, it'd be nice to be home. And we still had, I think we had like a 20-hour travel day. It was our day getting back.
Yeah, I hate traveling like that.
Well, we get off.
Travel, but when you're like traveling like from your destination back home or to your destination, that's the part I hate.
Yeah, so we were, we're 4 hours ahead in London. So we left at 6:30, 6:45, something like that. Hopped on the bus, got to Heathrow, and then our flight was at 10, I think. And then we landed in Montreal. It was almost 7 hours flight. And when we got home to St. John, it was 10:30 local time.
So one hell of a day.
Yeah. So it was like from 6 a.m. till 2 the next morning kind of thing.
Were you awake the whole time or did you get in any naps on the plane?
I got one short nap in. There's a Snapchat of that one somewheres with a heavy filter on my face.
I can't sleep on a plane.
Yeah, our plan was to sleep because the jet lag would work better. You wouldn't have as much jet lag if you slept because of the timing of it, because we did like a red eye over. So if you slept, you woke up, it was 6 a.m. when we got there. So then you just stay up that day and then be okay for your time there. And we really didn't have a lot of issue with jet lag. I've had more issue coming back than I did going there. Coming back, this is Sunday, so I got home on Friday evening, late Friday evening. Saturday night, I was in bed by 9. And if anybody knows me and knows me well enough, I'm not in bed by 9 ever. Like even when I have to be at work at 5 the next day, I'm not in bed by 9. And then I was up and going at like 8. And that's pretty rare for me as well.
Oh, that's good.
So it kind of, yeah.
Now the looming question on everyone's mind.
Everyone's mind, yes.
Well, from last week's episode, what'd you think of the escargot?
I couldn't do it.
Come on.
So I ordered it ordered it on our, I can't remember, it doesn't matter what day. I ordered it one of the days, and Lil's like, I'll try it. And then, so we're in the main dining room. So we're all dressed up. Well, dressed up. I got a collared shirt on and pants that aren't jeans. It's dressed up. And her brother's directly in front of me. And he's like, how are you with texture? I'm like, not good. Texture's a big thing for me. And that's part of why I'm a picky eater. And he's like, how do you like mushrooms? I'm like, only certain ones. He said, well, if you don't like mushrooms, you're probably not going to like the texture of this stuff. And I'm like, son of. And I, so the little, you saw the dish that I sent you. It's got like seven or something in it.
Yeah.
Six or seven. And they've all got these little cells with butter that they sit in. And so I scooped one out and I got a look at it. And I'm like,
you can't look at it. You just got to eat it.
And I couldn't do it. And Lil, I think Lil had two or three. She said she liked it. I was like, oh, I can't do it. I just couldn't do it.
That's disappointing.
I know. So I was, you know what? I'll be 100% honest. I was okay. I was going to try it. And then I dip the fork into the butter and I go to peel the thing out of it. And then her brother starts talking and he completely talked me out of it because of the texture thing. Yeah, and if he hadn't said anything, I probably think I would have tried it. But I think he was trying to save me from spitting it out into a napkin or something. I was like, but it was a good time. It was a good trip. It was funny. So the boat we're on has had had three pools and six hot tubs. Didn't spend a second in any of them.
No.
I took, I brought swimming trunks with me. And I'm like, oh, that'd be the first day. I'm like, oh, it'd be nice. You know, we've been walking around everywhere. And with that, like, legs were sore, feet were tired kind of thing. So we were doing those 25,000 step days in London. And I was like, oh, you know, it'd be a good idea. I think I'll hop in the hot tub. Never touched a hot tub the entire time. I was like, oh, that'd be, I had it in my head the first day. It'd be, you know, it'd be great for my legs. It'd be new.
Were they crowded or was no one really using them?
They were being used. It was possible to get in one if you wanted to. I mean, they were six or eight person hot tubs, all of them. Like, there was plenty of space. It just, you had to kind of allocate time to go do it because there was so much other stuff going on. Like the stage shows that they did, I think we went to three different shows. And from our experience from Mexico, we're like, oh, they, you know, they're whatever. Like the guy that's, you know, the bartender from this bar is going to be the actor doing whatever in the theater kind of thing. Cause that's kind of the way it was in Mexico.
Yeah.
And it was 100% not that way. It was like,
yeah, they're like mini Broadway shows.
Yeah. It was impressive. Cause we watched, there was an illusionist there one day and he was pretty good. He did a lot of sleight of hand card tricks. It was still pretty cool. Then there was two singing shows that we went to. Yes, we went to four shows and all told. Two singing shows and then like a Cirque du Soleil type, like trapeze act. That was pretty good.
Very good.
Yeah, so that was a good time.
I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah, Lil today was like, so they want you to book before you get off the boat.
There's advertisements for you to get on another boat from the day you walk in.
Yeah, exactly. So she's like, I'm going through withdrawal but she's disappointed that we didn't book because we started looking around when we were on the boat and we were trying to pick destinations and we just couldn't come up with a destination and we kind of want to take the kids on one. We like to get my parents on one, like, cause they don't travel, but I think they'd enjoy it. But, Yeah, so we're looking at it, and there's a few that, like, we just couldn't figure out a destination that worked with the line that we were on. So that's why we're looking at different ones. And the only benefit to booking while you're on was your deposit was lower. That was the only thing that Celebrity had. That was the only benefit to booking while you're on the ship.
Got it.
I think there might have been some onboard credits that might have happened, which would be nice as well, but really wasn't a ton of benefits to it that I could see, but I didn't look into it that hard. But yeah, it was a good time. I Norway definitely didn't disappoint, and London was great too, because I mean there was just so much history there. Did I mention we went to the Churchill War Rooms?
No.
So it's another World War II thing. It's where Churchill's bunker that he used during the Second World War. They have all the rooms, or not all, but they have the bunker still there, and they have some of the rooms were basically in August of 45 when the war ended. Some of the rooms weren't touched, and then the Imperial War Museum came in and turned it into a museum. And they've curated some of the rooms were left how they looked from August of 45.
That's kind of cool. Amazing how they just walk away from it.
Yeah. I mean, the war was over. I mean, yeah, they didn't clean up. They didn't do anything. They, like, the maps had pins in the maps, then they were the pins that have been there since 45 kind of thing. They were showing, like, troop movements and convoy movements and anything and everything under the sun. It was kind of interesting to see. It was a world war. It had maps, like European theater, Pacific theater, everything was there.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have to check that out.
Yeah, it was cool. It was fairly expensive, but if you're at all kind of, if history interests you at all, it's definitely something to go see. Oh, and we did the Tower of London too.
I don't know what that is.
So it's where they hold the crown jewels. So we did the crown jewel tour. We can't take any pictures while you're in there.
Well, that's dumb.
Yeah, I don't know what the concern is. I think it's like they're worried like somebody could case the place and figure out how to get in or out of it. I don't know. But that was pretty cool to see just the opulence of certain things. Like some stuff's just there on display, like it's not used anymore. They had a punch bowl that you could probably bath like four kids in, basically a bathtub.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not fitting in it, but some adults could.
That's cool. Well, what do you think we thank our patrons?
Oh, I suppose. We do have a couple new this week, and I'll leave those for last. We go through the list here. We have Corey of Odyssey CNC, Christy of Twisted Twine, Annette of 513 Woodworks, Full Steam Design by Chris Powell, Lillian Archer Photography, David Beckwith Makes, NB Wood Finery. Our top tier, we have East Boak Studios, Danelle Smith Christian, Brian Drennan, Lawrence of MaritimeKniveSupply.com, Ed Johns of ButtJoints.com, Adam of Uncle Sam Metalworks, Vincent Ferrari of Digitally Creative, Brian Housewort of Workforward Podcast, Archigino Sorio, Matt of Wooden Mustache, Brad of Brad's Customs, David and Joanna of Wido Works, Chad of Chad's Custom Creations, Ryan of Gnomehammer Forge, David of DW Wood Builds, and Matt of First Duke Construction. And then we have, joining us, we have Bryce, the Waffle Beaver.
The Waffle Beaver.
The Waffle Beaver. So,
thank you for joining, Bryce. We appreciate it.
And then we have Eric of Overall MakerWorks.
Thank you, Eric. So, thank you, all patrons.
Yes, we do appreciate the patronage.
Speaking of patrons, as patrons, you get entered into the Waffle for Gnomehammer. If you don't know what that is, he's giving away a hammer this month. As you're listening to this, if you're listening the day it comes out, today's your last day for the, I guess you call it the August giveaway or September giveaway.
I think he's calling it the August.
The August giveaway. There'll be another one next month. Mm-hmm. But get in now or get in then. You can buy tickets through Gnome Hammer or become a patron of Gnome Hammer or Working Hands Podcast.
Yep. Very cool.
As this releases, there's 37 days left, 36 days left for Maker Camp. If you haven't started, what's that?
Son of a.
Yeah. So if you haven't started on your Maker Swap item, you might want to start thinking about it. Use hashtag Camp Maker Swap 2023 when you post about it.
Yes. And you can have a look at that hashtag as well, because I see there's quite a few people starting to come into the fold and post about their items they're making.
Yeah. While you were away, I did get asked by two people, believe it or not. They said, because I've been sharing the stories, if somebody tags us in a post or tags Working Hands in a story, I'll just reshare it. But they asked if we would do the collaborator posts, and I said, absolutely, I don't care. So okay. If you want to invite us as a collab for your Maker Swap item, we will review it and accept it, as long as there's nothing nefarious in it. So that'll be fun. Tony chugs a beer. But with that, we're going to head on over to give our patrons some more content in the after show. If you want to find Tony, he's at Woodland Iron. I'm at Blackthorn Concepts. Both of us can be found at Working Hands Podcast on Instagram or Gmail or Working Hands 3 on TikTok. And we'll see you guys next week.
Later.
Later.